The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And like this, you know, 1990s basketball. I felt like this was going to be how we broke our streak. You know, hold somebody to 90, 93, you know, tonight. Dig it out of the mud, get stops, and you can only do that by just playing hard, and that's what our guys did.
And then how did Pods handle himself last night?
Well, Houston is a great defensive team, and they were all over Brandon, and I thought he handled himself really well. He took care of the ball. You know, the way he rebounded, I mean, he makes one big play after another on the glass. And that's, you know, Houston is, I think, by far number one in the league in the possession game. You know, they force a lot of turnovers. They don't turn it over. They get offensive boards. You look up and they've got 10, 15 more possessions than you. That was pretty even tonight because we only turned it over 10 times. Brandon had a lot to do with that. So I thought he managed the game beautifully.
That is key for the Warriors. They keep their turnovers down. It's been a constant theme for many years, but especially the last couple of years with the Warriors. As the margin for error, as Steve Kerr likes to mention, has decreased a bit with this roster. 10 turnovers yesterday, you only gave up 10 points off those turnovers, and that's something you're going to have to do again tonight. So that's a good thing. Again, Jonathan Kuminga, the last two games, he's played 62 minutes. He's only turned it over three times. Brandon Podziemski last night played in nearly 37 minutes as a primary ball handler, only turned it over two times. That's a step in the right direction, folks.
Well, you know, the other part of that is, and this is, you know, the cold reality, they're great players. Steph has a propensity to turn it over at times, and so does Draymond. Though Draymond's ball security has been much better this year than I believe even last year's. But like in the game that they lost the night before, when they were both healthy, what night was that? Down the stretch, they both had multiple turnovers. That
Brooklyn game
was that?
Was it Brooklyn Nets?
OKC. Who are you talking about?
No, it wasn't the Nuggets. Neither of them played. It was
Brooklyn. Was it Brooklyn?
I think it was Brooklyn. But they both had two turnovers each in the final like 4 or 5 minutes. I don't know if it would have made a big difference, but it just was like, come on, guys. You know, like we've just gotta have better ball security. So I want those guys to come back and just stop with the careless one-armed cross-court passes.
You are listening to 95.7 Game, KGMZ FM and AC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Cousin Nick, Nick Friedell is going to join us in about 16 minutes on the morning roast. Nick Friedell, long time no talk with him. It doesn't upset me. It bothers me. It's just a little annoyed when he talks about the bonus championship. He knows it.
This conversation is hurting my soul.
Yeah, it hurt my soul when I hear him say, oh, you got your bonus championship. It's like, oh, okay, all right. Chicago's begging for a championship.
You know,
go ahead.
You're talking about things that bother you. I've officially hit old man status. The outfits. I'm looking at Cam Newton on the television, for example.
He's too old.
And his outfits. I feel like he grabs five different things from the closet, slaps them together, and says, what are the five things that don't match? And we can throw them all together, and I'll wear that. Deebo Samuel. He's been wearing some outfits that I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to describe them. Steph Curry's worn some bell-bottom outfits that have been, I know that they have fashion. I know. I don't have fashion.
No, what you're
I'm
missing.
Admitting that I've hit old age status.
What you're missing with guys like Cam Newton? And Steph Curry. No, I don't subscribe to what Debo's wearing.
The millions and millions of dollars? Is that the part I'm missing?
No, you're missing that they have stylists.
Okay. If you wore that walking down the street, if anyone wore the what these guys wear sometimes down the street, I think we would all be like, what the hell is that?
No, not really. No, I'm telling you, that stuff's in. What Cam is wearing, that's swagger. Some people get away with that, man.
It's the modern Willy Wonka look is what we're calling it.
No, you can call it like that.
The modern Willy Wonka. That's exactly
he looks like him right now, which is fine. Willy Wonka's got swag. I'm not mad at Willy Wonka.
If I came in wearing that outfit.
Well, that's you.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't rock
you
that,
wouldn't
though.
Look, you wouldn't look good in that.
If you were walking down Powell Street.
If I walked in wearing that.
Yeah, I would
be like, damn, I like that.
No, we would
not. You would laugh.
No.
You would laugh, but if I
wore the Mario Brothers shoes or whatever those things are called,
hey, man.
And you came in here with some tight leather with the zippers everywhere the way Debo did,
are you going to bring the cardigans back, Fonte? I miss those.
That's different. The Debo outfits are a little different.
Well,
the Cam outfits, the Cam outfits with the top hat, the nice little bow tie, the collared shirt, the nice little cardigan that looks like
I'm admitting that I'm out of the demo now.
Yeah, that's why you should just leave the fashion to them. They know how to rock that baby. They know how to rock it, man.
No,
I'm telling you, ladies love that stuff.
I'm getting the new
Cameron. You, I talk. Ladies love that stuff. They love that look.
Rapid fire right now. 888-957-9570. Like, keep it real. Some of these outfits are out of control.
Yeah,
Normal people would not be wearing these fits.
I don't disagree with that.
If you saw someone wearing some of the Debo outfits at BART, coming out of a BART tub, you'd be like, what is that person
But Cam Newton's not taking BART. Like, that's the thing. Sam just mentioned, these aren't normal people. They're not normal anymore. Once you get the millionaire status, like you start changing.
Also, this is San Francisco, so honestly, that outfit might actually be more accepted here than another place.
And 408 actually makes a great point. These dudes are like 6 feet tall, 6+. We got dad bots. We're not, you know.
I'm not wearing a leather kilt, look, okay?
As I get into fashion more and more and more with the way I wear suits and the way I put them together, I actually respect guys like Cam Newton and Ryan Clark with the way they dress. It's not easy.
They got their own style.
They got their own style, and people love that style. You'd be surprised at how many people love that style.
Dante Hill figure.
And it's not for me to judge it.
That's why they have shows.
But you know what, though?
The daughter's name?
The ladies love that.
Does the outfit look good or not? What is it? The red carpet?
The ladies love that.
What's the show? With the daughter of
Joan Rivers' daughter?
Rivers' daughter, where they critique everyone's outfit.
Live at the red carpet?
No, but they do a show afterwards.
After the red carpet?
E-Entertainment
channel? I watch sports. Yeah,
so you guys never watched that with your lady?
No, you never watched that with your lady, Billy?
So machismo, none of you ever watched that?
No, I'm not saying I'm not machismo. I'm the guy that loves Love is Blind on this show, but I have never seen that one.
Yeah, I've never seen it either. Let's go to Telmo. Telmo in the city named Joshua 580.
Some of the outfits are a little out of control.
We don't disagree with that.
No, but I feel Shasky on that one because when I was younger, I used to do music and stuff, and I used to have wild outfits and all kinds of different colors and matching everything. And now I've gotten to the point where I'm like a pair of wide New Balances, some like jeans and a black V-neck T-shirt. And that's my whole jam right there.
Real quick. Don't get it twisted. I'm in sweats and a hoodie right now. That's all I wear to the studio. But these guys and the way they dress, like, I can't hate on it. The ladies love them.
These guys literally have, stylists that pick out outfits for them. And who even knows how much if they're getting paid to wear certain person's thing. You know, there's all behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't know about because a lot of these outfits are intentional and not just, I'm going to throw something weird together. But you know what, Joe? If you go out, I'm still, you know, I've been DJing for a long time and I'm still into club culture and I go out a lot less often nowadays, but you go in San Francisco, LA, all these places, you still see just regular people wearing those same wild outfits, you know what I mean? But real quick, let me get into the reason I called. And I feel, you know, it's unfortunate, but with this whole Pajimski and Kuminga thing, I think a lot of people kind of hint and insinuate and tiptoe around the issue, and I think really that there's certain segment of people that believe that Kerr favors Pajimski because he's white, right? Let's just put the rat on the table, as Guru says, and people need to, if they have that issue, say it with their whole chest. But the thing is, I mean, who's the biggest defender of Draymond? Even when the whole world was like, Steve Kerr's had his back at every point. So that's not an issue with him. He likes Pajimski because Pajimski does all the little things. You know, he does, and he was all rookie team. So that wasn't Steve Kerr saying, oh, I'm going to put you on the all rookie team. That was the league. That was, you know, people that have influence, you know, make those decisions outside of him. And I think with Kuminga, the biggest thing is it's not that he's not talented. It's not that he's not an amazing athlete. He's probably the best athlete on the whole Warriors team. It's a system fit. He's an ISO ball guy. The ball sticks to him. Even yesterday in a game like they had Curry out and Draymond, they won. They had like 90-some points. So when you have a player where the ball sticks to you and you need the ball in your hands to do that work, it's kind of like Allen Iverson. It's having the ball in your hands a lot, high volume. And that you're not getting the rotation, you're not getting shots for other players, you're not creating for other players, and that's just not how the Warriors operate. So unless the Warriors are just going to, as an organization, decide to change their whole entire system for Jonathan Kuminga, which I don't think it's going to happen, it's just not going to be the right fit. But insinuating that Kerr plays him or doesn't play him or Pajimski for reasons other than basketball is just lame,
yeah,
to be honest.
It's ludicrous. It's actually asinine. Oh, but, you know, that's what people do. That's what people do. Josh on 580, hang tight. We'll get to you right before Cousin Nick on the other side, and that's what's coming up in the game. Plus 60 seconds of Celebrini. We haven't done that. We have four down territory, so a lot to get to here on a payday / Bay Area Friday. Warriors win. They got to do it again tonight against Minnesota as they play a little doubleheader Friday and Saturday against the T-Wolves, who did advance to the Western Conference Finals. It's going to be a really good basketball game tonight at Chase Center. Let's see if the Warriors can build off of last night's great win over the Houston Rockets, 99-93. Cousin Nick will join us. But first, we'll get to Josh on 580 on the other side, brought to you by the California Lottery.
This is Savon Looney. Welcome back to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Monte.
All right, Loon Dog, very good night for you. He's had a really good season. 11 rebounds last night, 5 offensive rebounds. He's in the top 5 in offensive rebounds per game. I love where Loon Dog's at. He lost a lot of weight this offseason, took his offseason regimen really serious. Not to say that he didn't the year before, but obviously he's getting reward from working out this hard in the offseason. He looked awesome. He's looked awesome all season. I love Loon Dog, man. Hopefully he's a Warrior for his entire career. Let's get to Josh on 580 before we get to Nick Friedell. Josh, what's happening?
What's up, my guys? Happy Friday.
Where are you at on 580? Where are you at?
Huh?
Where you at on 580?
I just got off 580. I'm in Castro Valley now. I pulled off 580. Oh, I'm nice. In Castro Valley now.
Yeah, nice.
Headed to actually Redwood Canyon and play a little bit of golf today.
Oh, nice. I like that course. Yeah, have fun. Yeah, very cool.
Smooth course. Yeah, but, you know, a couple things I noticed. I only really caught, like, kind of the end of the second quarter to the end of the game, but the rotation was shorter. I've been kind of calling for that a little bit. You know, I think 12-man was great to start the season, but he went to the guys that he trusted yesterday, and I think that's kind of huge, right? Like, you didn't see Spencer, you didn't see Lindy Waters out there, you saw a very little slow-mo. He went to the guys that he trusted, and I think that's going to be key going forward. Like, let's shorten the rotation, give guys more minutes, let Kuminga be on the floor more, let him get into more of a rhythm, play Wiggins a little bit more, and let's trust the guys that are really our key 9 guys and just kind of rock with that, and then filter the guys in kind of behind that.
Josh.
The second point. Yeah.
Josh, before you continue, now I'm intrigued. What kind of driver are you playing, and what kind of sticks do you have?
Finish the call.
No, I'm just curious.
I just got the TaylorMade RBZ driver, real classic, and then I play with the TaylorMade irons as well.
Let's go. Hit them straight, bro. What's your second point?
Little Scotty Cameron putter.
Oh,
you know.
Scotty Cameron. Let's go. That's like the Gucci of putters, Bonte.
Nothing too crazy, you know. But then last point before you guys get to Cousin Nick is, why does Paz not have a floater? He gets into the lane so many times and just dribbles around and turns around Steve Nash-esque, but, like, hit a floater, dude. He's able to use his body and block people off and get in the lane. He's got to be able to score from there because that might be the best look we get in a possession. There's a couple times he gets in the lane, he turns around, kicks it out. Now the offense is out of whack. It's 10 seconds left in the shot clock. Now we got to go ISO and chuck up a bad shot. If he gets in the lane, he's got to be able to have some type of float package to be a scoring threat. The three ball is not really fair for them. He's not really a shooter. But he's got to have some type of floater game. So
good call,
that's all I got
Matt.
For you guys. Happy Friday. Have a great day.
Can't have a Doobie Awards YouTuber of the Year if y'all shut down the YouTube chat. Day 68 of the YouTube chat ban. free the YouTube channel.
Maybe day 69 on Monday, we open it back up.
Yeah, I think
And we do a final push, a 1-week push.
A 1-week push for the Doobie Awards. I want the chat back.
The craziest troll game.
Yes. You know what? That's a great idea. Matt Mahegan, if you're listening, let's free the YouTube chat on Monday, and that could determine next week who the YouTuber of the year is.
I kind
of
like that. I kind of like that.
I think right now Tyler Miller's in a running for back-to-back because he got the damn thing shut down. I'm blaming him. By the way, the
you
Doobie
love
Awards,
Tyler Miller more than I love Brian in Palo Alto.
Probably love Tony more than Tyler Miller. Laughing Buck Brewing in Sunnyvale from 6 to 10 a.m. Well, Tony showed up to the Doobie Awards Friday, December 20th. Hopefully she takes the day off. Hopefully you take the day off. Hopefully everybody takes the day off.
He doesn't have to pay.
The Roasters are invited. They're invited. And it's going to be free food. And it's going to be free drinks. And all you have to do is go to 9570game.com for more details and the RSVP, 9570game.com. It's all about celebrating the show and the listeners. All right, Spadoni, let's hit the intro for our next guest.
Take you for a ride on a slow bus to Chinatown.
Where in the world is
the sexiest voice in all of sports media, Nick Friedell.
Nick has this rugged masculinity that all of us at ESPN are jealous of.
I don't know about friend of the program because I think you're lumping me in with being a friend of Friedell, and I don't want to be associated with all that.
Thank you, Nick, and your voice is very deep and sexy. I have
What you gonna do, brother, yeah, exactly. When Mac Jones is coming for you?
How would you describe the level of hope that everyone else spoke with yesterday in regards to what James Wiseman brought?
What are they talking about regarding Wiseman and like the impact he can make this season?
Yeah, just how much the...
Obviously, you can't predict the future, and we'll see what happens this summer. But would you be willing to take less money?
Bro, I'm not answering your questions no more. I'm sorry. Next question.
It doesn't upset me. It bothers me.
Oh, the Kelly Oubre era.
On the River Islands guest line is now an Odyssey Sports NBA insider. Also, now, not only is he diminishing the Warriors' last championship, he's stealing money from us now. Nick Friedell, if you're a fan of the NBA, make sure to check out the variety of NBA Odyssey podcasts wherever you get your content. Yes, it's his bonus contract. I'll see you at the end. All guests on 95.70 Game appear on the River Islands guest line. This is the time for you to discover the islands. River Islands Latham. Ain't that a damn shame? We don't get bonuses here, but Nick Friedell's getting a bonus check right now. You know what? I'm not even going to call it the bonus check. I'm calling it the sympathy check. Just because we love you, Nick. Just because we love you.
Oh, God, B. Here we go. Every time I hear that thing from way back, I think of all the different memories I had at the station. But then I hear Mac Jones, and I'm like, wow, that was only a few years ago. And that guy, he went from the next big thing to Trevor Lawrence's backup in Jacksonville.
Wants to bring him back here.
Hold on. See, this is where the fandom gets out of control, Nick. And you look good on Zoom. I didn't know you was on Zoom. We got to add some trophies to that trophy case. Maybe you're winning
maybe
a roast award.
Local television and win some awards.
No. I have no awards for local television. I've never been up for any Emmys. Trust me on that one. I don't even have a radio award. But maybe he'll get a roast trophy for guest moment of the year. Yeah. We still got time. We still haven't decided yet. Yeah. So that trophy case looks a little empty here. But no, what I said, Nick, the other day was like, I wouldn't put it past Shanahan to bring Mac Jones in as a backup. They brought in Sam Darnold as a backup. He's going to be available. We know many folks in the front office of the 49ers love Mac Jones. So I just said it was a possibility. I didn't say I want him. See, Shasky gets a little hyperbolic at times. You know that, Nick.
Oh, yeah. I lived it. but no, I mean, if you bring Mac Jones back as whatever reclamation project, that would be, you know, cool. But I think we all agree that the Niners need a lot more help than Mac Jones at this point. It feels like that train is running completely out of gas right now.
All right, Nick, let's get right to the Golden State Warriors, your team, one of the many bonus teams that you've covered over the years. I'm looking at Jonathan Kuminga and what he did last night. And look, the points are amazing, but it was a lot of the little stuff for me. It was, you know, not forcing it in the half court, boxing out with reckless abandon so that others could get the rebounds, even though that doesn't show up in the box sheet. And then seeing the way Curry and Draymond Green were reacting to his success. Not that they were passing the torch, but it sure felt like to me, hey guys, I know that Steph's the son and everything revolves around him, but we got to start implementing some stuff specifically designed for Jonathan Kuminga if we want this thing to go somewhere this year. What was your read on everything that happened last night with Kuminga?
Joe, they were beaming at that last bucket at the end of the game. I'm sitting there watching going, oh, okay, Steph and Draymond arm in arm are going underneath the basket to pick him up. And guys, all I kept thinking was, what are those two dudes going to do when they are homecoming parents and they're taking the pictures before the dance? Like, that's the first thought that went through my mind because they were so happy, but specifically.
Wait a minute, hold on, Nick. What makes you think of that?
You're not even a parent yet. Can you imagine Steph and Draymond when their kids are getting ready for whatever dance is coming in the future? They're going to be the two guys with the cameras taking videos of every single thing there is because they were so proud. But on a side note, back to Kuminga. Kuminga can be the guy that the Warriors want him to be. And Joe, the problem always, and this dates back from the beginning, is the consistency. I mean, there's a reason that Steph and Draymond were so happy and celebrating at the end last night. It's because of exactly what you just described. It wasn't just, all right, he had all these points and he was awesome. It was that he was doing all the things that make everybody else around him better. He just has to be able to fit in the same way when Steph and Draymond are on the floor. But when you see that type of performance and you see the progression that he can continue to make, I think it's all right there for him. They just need him to do that over and over and over again, and that has been the problem all along.
Where are you at in the belief system with the Golden State Warriors, Nick? There's been their win total over-under before the season was 43.5. They get off to the great start. They're 12-3. Then they go 4-6 in their last 10 before last night, and obviously the five-game losing streak. What is the potential of this basketball team if they don't make a move?
If they stay the way they are right now, B, I think they're a team that is going to get into the playoffs. It's going to give everybody a headache and strike fear in their heart, maybe win a series. I just don't believe.
You think they could win a playoff series? I'm shocked. I wasn't expecting that.
It's Steph. I mean, nobody wants to see Steph. But we've been having this conversation for years and years. Obviously, like everybody else, I'd be concerned with the knee issues that are starting to pop up because that doesn't really get better over time. But this is the whole problem. And, B, this is the conversation and the context that the Warriors have had to face since they won that last title, which is, are they a really solid team? Can they be really good? Potentially, if everybody stays healthy and Draymond is locked in, and he seems to be, although he's dealing with injury problems of his own right now, sure. But I don't think that they're good enough to go back all the way up to the top, and that is why you make a move. I mean, that's why you find that next piece, whomever it may be. But I like what I've seen. I went to that game the other night in Denver. It looks like they're starting to kind of come together a little bit more, even though they've gone through this losing streak the last week or so. But it's all in the eye of the beholder. The Warriors are a good team. I think they could do maybe some damage in the postseason. It's just that they're not the type of title contender that we're so used to them being through the years.
All right, you covered this team for quite some time. You have been in a variety of Zooms, conference rooms, podiums, daises with Steve Kerr. I have never seen him go at a young player the way he did with Brandon Pajemski. What was your read as someone who's been around Steve for a long time? How did you view that?
Joe, what was crazy is on top of what we saw post-game, I can't remember Kerr in the middle of a game going at a player the way he did at Pajemski. In real time, I'm sitting there, I'm watching him, he's on the sideline, and he is lighting into him. I mean, he is lighting into him. And they explained later it was because Pajemski keeps fouling and he's not doing what they want him to do. But that, aside from the Draymond antics that have popped up at various points through the years, I have never seen Kerr in the moment go at a player like that. And then on top of that, what we saw in the post-game press conference, I think what we saw was a coach who was so frustrated because he knows the young player can do even more. And I heard my boy Slater, and he was saying that part of the issue for the Warriors is they want Podziemski to get a little bit more out of what he's doing night to night. But I think the key, Joe, is they know he can take it. And there is no way that Steve Kerr would have been that demonstrative out there in the middle of the game, said what he said post-game, if that's not the case. And that, I think, is crucial in all this, because everybody can focus on the words after, and they can see what I and anybody else watching that game saw in Denver. But then when you counterbalance that against, all right, well, Kerr is trying to make his point, and he believes that this specific player can handle the criticism that's coming his way, I think that's important as far as measuring what may happen next.
No, I'm with you, Nick. I had the same exact thought there as we're talking to Cousin Nick. Nick Friedell here on the River Islands guest line. How about Andrew Wiggins? Andrew Wiggins,
Your boy, so far,
so solid.
Your boy, so far. Yeah,
David Fizdale. Have you run into David Fizdale recently? Hopefully you haven't, Cousin Nick.
No, I have not seen Fizdale. I actually had a nice couple moments with Wiggins. I was in New Orleans a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow, you've been making the rounds. How are you making all this?
Yeah, man, must be paying you well. I'm seeing the one team that I still am kind of locked in on all the time, because they are, as we know, so damn relevant, not only in the Bay, but all across the league. But
man, those bonus checks are hitting, Shasky. Damn.
I mean, bonus flights to bourbon?
There you go. But I truly be like, Wiggins has been so good,
and
they have needed every bit of it, because we know with Steph and Draymond at this stage, they have got to get that type of consistency from Wiggins. And if he is playing like this again 3, 4, 5 months from now, well, then, okay, the possibilities open up a little bit more. But this is where I have to be the first in line. You always remember, not only can Wiggins do it now, and he's shown it, Wiggins, as you guys know better than anyone, was the second best player on the bonus title team. I mean, he was the guy. And when you get to that point, I know that there were some ups and downs. He was dealing with so much stuff behind the scenes last year. But when you're playing like this and you have the muscle memory of, hey, I can be that guy in the postseason, I think it's a sign that really good things will continue to come his way.
Nick, I don't know if you know this, but since you left us, you know, the roast has been hanging on, and we're here. We're still here. Bonte's killing it on TV.
I won't ever
FaceTime me on TV. It just drives me nuts. But
no, I do. He just doesn't remember. And his name shows up on the Pulse Game Show every single night, pre and post.
It's not enough.
Actually,
I need my face.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, we're having a party. All right, December 20th. We're having a party. I want you to fly out. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of things going. We're having a huge party for the show. It's an end of the year blowout. It's called the Doobies, okay? It's a party with an award ceremony kind of baked into it, all right? Because you know, we roast each other. We roast people. We have callers now that you've never heard. Tony is one of Bonte's favorite callers. We have to meet this woman. Here's a snippet of one of the calls of the year from Tony. Listen to it. This is our audience.
Tony in Oakland.
Shanahan is a lamb that will never become a lion. Can you imagine having Shanahan in your head? He ruins your zone. Now, if they want to get rid of that person because we're never going to win with him, this dude will never do it. He doesn't have the balls.
That is Tony in Oakland talking about Kyle Shanahan. Those are the kind of calls that we've been getting that we're going to have up for awards, and we're going to give out awards. Nick, you got to be there. We have mispronunciations of the year.
Yeah,
you know, when Bonte and I mispronunciate stuff,
happens every single day.
Give him that last 2 months that Gunnar Henderson got with the Orioles last year. Aldi Ruschman, who we're going to see in the home run derby.
And me saying yes.
Yeah. Hey, whoa, don't just throw me under the bus.
What?
Here's one from Shasky, too.
If you think about it, Ayuk and Debo, mm-hmm. Juwan Jennings on third down, George Kittle, you got Ute Juice, mm-hmm. you got CMC.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, look, I would do anything to go out there, but I'm already taking my mom over to Europe right before Christmas.
Damn,
Nick, did you spend some time in Europe this past summer?
About four times already, V.
Oh, my God. This guy's living a life.
I need ESPN to let me know.
Number four.
Hey, Matt Nahegan, if you want to ask me now, I'll be in Greece next month.
Wow.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, there you go. But you know what? You know what thought popped in my head as you're describing the doobies and all the callers?
Yeah.
When all of us, the three of us, yeah, and I think Lucas was with us, we go to that Niners preseason game right before I left, and we're walking up the steps, Levi's, and you and I are talking, and we hear this voice go, "Is that crazy-ass Joe Shasky?" I was like, wait a minute, what? And it was Robin. Robin, one of the most loyal listeners I've ever heard in my life. Shout out to Robin. But she starts talking to us, and you and I are looking at each other like, I can't believe this is real. So the callers and the listeners, we know, make up the heart and soul of any great station. But that moment is etched in my brain. Is that crazy-ass Joe Shasky?
Crazy ass Joe Shasky.
There we were.
Hey, Nick, do you remember?
I miss you so much.
Hey, Nick,
God,
too.
I
just tripped. Now that I think about it, Nick Fernell, you was at that speakeasy in Toronto when the girl lifted down the pink bottle. I thought I was in a James Bond movie. I was like, what the hell? I love Toronto.
It'll always have a special place in our hearts.
Hey, cousin Nick.
Shout out the overnight dancers. What's going on here?
Well, I wanted to do the Doobie Awards at a strip club. Don't tell my television executives that.
My mom was not happy
with that. Yeah, she was not. No, I think it was more his wife saying, were you guys really thinking about doing
the
awards at a strip club?
She's not bringing the baby to a strip club.
Okay.
And
well,
I agree
just
with
thought it was appropriate. But people are still trying to bring dancers down to the show, Nick. Real quick, your Bears. Your Bears. We've got to speak about your Bears. You're probably happy with the quarterback, probably happy with the defense, but the coaching malpractice on Thanksgiving night. All right, do you have any confidence? We had Marshall Harris on earlier from 6-7 to score. He has no confidence that the Bears will make the right move when it comes to hiring a new head coach. Do you have confidence in the Bears regime in the future? The Bears are protecting Caleb Williams and hiring the right guy to help Caleb Williams flourish?
Hell no. I mean, you already know the answer to that question.
I just couldn't hear it.
It's a nice way to bookend the start of our conversation and the end of it, because bad teams stay bad for a reason. The Warriors have hired the right people through time. They built the right way around Steph, around Clay, around Draymond. But everybody from top to bottom has to do their job, and they all have to revolve, Joe, around the sun, like you said, because that's what Steph will always be for that team. The Bears are a joke. I mean, they are an embarrassment, and they have been for years. So to think that all of a sudden, just because you get rid of Eberflus, who seemingly everybody wanted to get rid of before the year, this wasn't like a new thing. It wasn't like, oh, well, he screwed up on Thanksgiving, and they gave up the Hail Mary in Washington. Oh, it's time. No. The Bears, guys, they should have hired Harbaugh. That is where it all goes back to. They should have dumped Eberflus. They should have hired Harbaugh, and they should have said, all right, we got Caleb Williams. We're going to build the way you want. We know you have the proven track record, and they didn't want to do it. So Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, all those guys, they have not generated any kind of confidence that anything will be different. And George McCaskey, the owner and that group, they've been so bad for so long that when I go back to that city and I'm still talking to my friends there all the time, it is just like, what the hell is going on? But the reality is, what the hell is going on is the same as it ever was. So there's no reason to believe, not just Sunday, but moving forward, that they're going to find any kind of rhythm. And that's why I told you guys this for years. When you go and look at what the Warriors have done, for as much frustration as there may be in the times of losing streaks, or they're not finding their way, look at the totality. They hired the right people, they found Steph, and they trusted that he would continue to be the guy he was as a leader on top of what he did on the floor. And when you do that and you have the bankroll from ownership and the trust, anything is possible.
Nick, you know, I'm thinking, like, while you're talking about renaming the show, not the morning roast.
Hold on. Oh, wow.
It's going to be the morning trampoline, because Kate trampolined herself right on out of here to a play-by-play gig on television. She's on Madden video games. And Nick Friedell trampolined his way on out of here and has literally had 4 trips to Europe in the last calendar year. I am so jealous.
Well,
Bonte's got to be jealous.
Oh, I'm super jealous because it upset me. It bothers me.
I'd rather be the White Sox drop for him. During the middle of summer, I said the Giants are in a bad spot.
It was late summer. It was about August.
And Bonte said this, and he meant it.
I would rather be the White Sox
than the Giants.
At least I know we suck. Instead of being 81-81, having false hope about, well, if this went right, we could have been division champions. I want to either suck or be really good. And the White Sox sucked at the highest level. So I'd rather be them. Think about all the stories out there in Chicago about a terrible team. When you're 500, you're like, well, if this went right or if that went right, forget that. If you're going to suck, suck, Nick.
B, as far as what we do, hell yeah, I'm with you.
Thank you.
Hell yeah, I'm with you. Dude, we used to call it basketball hell when I was still in Chicago covering the Bulls because they were just the middle-of-the-road team that was going to never get where everybody wanted. But, and I think this is important, again, in the context, the White Sox and the Bulls, owned by the Reinsdorfs, and they have mismanaged that team for several decades since Michael and Scotty and all those guys left. When you have teams that are run well at the top, more than not, they're going to find a way to win on the field, on the floor. When you have teams that aren't and that don't spend the money the same way, well, you get what you get.
Wow. Well, that bonus championship the Warriors didn't win had me in Europe for the European extravaganza.
Do me a favor. Days. Nick, do me a favor. Say thank you to your mother. I read my little guy that book. You got him. And it means a lot. My wife says hello. We miss you. Next time you're in town, we all got to hang out. I wanted you there for the doobies, but obviously Europe is it calling you.
Trust me, Nick. He loves you more than me.
I do.
Well, I'm nicer to him than you are.
Thank you.
Oh, Nick, stop it. Do you understand why he drives? I have to spend 20 hours with him. True. He drives me crazy. True. It's a day-to-day operation.
Pretty crazy, but that's part of the charm.
Exactly.
No, it's not. Well, 2 days ago, we're running Trey Kuminga. Now, Isaac, you got to empower this guy and play him 35 minutes a night.
That's what we do.
I deal with this every single day.
From the author of Kirk Cousins is on the table in the middle of a playoff game.
Well, no, it was. It was true. Kirk Cousins was on the table if Jimmy continued to play. We know Shanahan loves him, so Kirk Cousins, and he still might be on the table next season with the way he's playing in Atlanta. Good Lord.
We miss you.
We miss you a lot.
You too. Guys, it was great. It always is. And whenever I get back out there, we're going to get together. I promise.
Hold on. Before you move on, because I am jealous, where are you going in Europe?
We're going to Munich and Prague and Vienna.
Oh, my gosh. This guy, man.
Go get the sausages.
No,
Christmas markets. Whatever the hell they serve the Christmas markets, that's where I am.
Hashtag pause. No Italy in your life.
The Vienna sausages are a thing.
Come on, B. Italy was for 2.5 weeks, like 3 months ago.
Wow. He just dropped it on your face, bro.
Was Amalfi Coast part of that? Lake Como? Amalfi Coast? Positano?
All that stuff. I mean, it's been a fun ride, but I am ready to get back to work.
I'll take out my anger on Shasky, since you said so.
We got about 9 minutes,
you.
Guys.
Right, bye,
see you,
Nick.
Buddy.
Fill that trophy case out for us, man. Will you? I love you, Nick. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. We love Nick, man. He's always got a smile on his face. He is living his best. He always puts a smile on my face.
He said I've been there four times.
Four times. What a flex. Remember to check out the variety of NBA Odyssey podcasts wherever you
Number
get
four.
He's talking about flexing. Seriously, man. Jeez. All right. There's somebody on the line who wants to clear their name. They want to clear their name. Since you can't chat on YouTube.
This is the ghost of Trey Lance.
We do have the ghost of Trey Lance lurking up.
How bad is Trey? Like, honestly, how bad is Trey that he can't get in front of Cooper Rush?
Or Cooper Rush playing all right. He's playing all right.
Again, the sentence. How bad is Trey if he can't get out in front of Cooper Rush?
Trey needs reps. He needs reps in practice. Tyler, what's up, man?
Hey, man. Y'all on here really got my name in the dirt right now, Bonte, just because I thrive in the toxic area that is the chat, and I wasn't even on the chat the days when it got cut off. So to all the Brock Purdy boys out there, the casuals, it was not my fault
that there is no more YouTube chat.
Out of curiosity, who do you want as 49er quarterback?
Yeah, we haven't heard from you during this losing streak. Do you watch Shanahan gone?
I don't want Shanahan gone. Okay. I just want him to stop having control over the first round picks. But I mean, Joe, you already kind of laughed at it about the Shador thing. But if we can get Cam Ward at like pick number 10, why not?
He's not lasting past pick 2.
He might. Well, would you be opposed to moving back up?
We've done this before.
Like we did. Trey Lance to get Cam Ward at number 2.
That didn't work out so well for the Niners.
Would you watch? You think Shador would thrive with Shanahan? I like Shador. I like Shador a lot.
Come on, Vontae. With this type of coaching and this team, Shador would totally thrive in the 49ers offense. Come on, man. What are we talking about here?
How much you paying Purdy this offseason?
I'm not paying him at all. He still has one more year left. Make him prove it. Somebody said, what if we do draft the future and you make him play it out next year and just see what happens, and then you just go from there?
Are you
Would you pay him after what he's done?
You going to be at the Doobies or what, man?
And only if I get the Trey Lance drop for sure played when my name is called in the crowd.
If you show up on that red carpet, I'll play whatever music you want.
And whatever drop you want.
I'm going to definitely be there, dude. I'm going to be there. Y'all got a little problem with the RSVP thing on the internet. So
I heard.
Love me and my on that.
What did it say, April 30th? What did it say, April 30th? We can't get the internet right.
You know what? In true smoker fashion, we're all messed up.
It's the Doobie Awards. How about the Doobie Awards? Don't you want to win it? No, exactly. You already have a Doobie Award. You could be a 2-time winner, Tyler.
No, I honestly, I mean, if y'all bring the chat back next week, I will make a push for troll of the YouTube chat 2-time back-to-back award winner. But, I'm looking forward to it, fellas. It should be definitely a great morning with food and drinks and with the boys.
And you got
to
bring Benny Rhodes down, too, because I know he's rapping. Maybe he could do he could make a live. He could do a live performance for us on the mic.
Last thing, what Shasta said about the morning trampoline, that is definitely correct. Because your boy will be on Quan 4 again tonight, 6:45, 9:00.
This guy's on TV more than me.
I love y'all.
He is on TV.
Y'all.
Hey, well, how does it feel to have more airtime than Shasky on Zooms?
I mean, hey, thank you. They need you on the Giants pre and post game. I've been saying that.
Man, don't look at me.
You and me both.
Don't look at me. That ain't my lane, Tyler. I was trying to keep you checked.
That's the Shaft guy. That's the Shaft guy. He breathes and dies with the SF Giants.
I know.
Get Joe Shasky.
I get my Vontae on so quick. I'd be like, I mean, look, I know Yastrzemski is one for his last 38, but let's be honest, he's having great at bats. They look good.
Same old Yaz to me.
Hey, man. Y'all ran Clay Thompson out of town. Tyler, take it easy. I'll check you out on call 4.
Jackson.
All right, y'all go again.
See you, buddy.
I'll check it out on call 4, man. I love seeing you on TV. Real quick, 60 seconds to celebrity. Let's do 60 seconds to celebrity. We got to squeeze it in.
Shoehorn in some Sam Redman.
It's time for 60 seconds of Celebrini.
Celebrini exchanges. Shoot, star!
Where we recap all the great things Sharks phenom Macklin Celebrini did last night.
Wouldn't you know it, the number one overall draft pick, Macklin Celebrini.
Your 60 seconds of Celebrini starts now.
I mean, I don't really know if we need a full 60 seconds today, guys. Maybe like a 6 seconds of Celebrini, because 6 seconds about how long that Sharks game lasted last night before they were down 5-0 halfway through that first period. It was a -3 night for Macklin last night. If you want a positive, he did win 5 of his 9 faceoffs, which is pretty good. He's winning 49% of his faceoffs on the year, which is, you know, among the tops for rookies, but... Yeah, no, that was really rough last night for the Sharks. They lost 8-1 in Tampa Bay. Probably just coming down off the high of that incredible win in Washington a couple nights ago.
Well, Tampa does have a good home ice advantage. They're 8-4-1 now at home.
Yeah.
13-9-2 overall.
Yeah, I mean, they're a few years removed from 3 straight trips to the Stanley Cup Finals. It's, you know, it happens.
It was a letdown spot. Like, that was a scheduled loss.
Tough spot.
If you look at that, that was a scheduled loss.
Exactly, loss like that. Damn. But, hey, it happens. Got a, you know, redemption against the Panthers tomorrow night, the defending Stanley Cup champion. Well, so, what do you got there, Shasky?
No,
I was going to say, you have one of two routes here. You should be on the beat for the San Jose Sharks and carve out either a Grant Cohn role or a David Lombardi role. Pick one, and someone else should pick the other.
Sam Lubman.
I think there's so many other roles I can maybe go for there. But you know what? Hey, I've been on the Sharks beat before. It's a lot of fun. So.
You know what? I worry about the Sharks against the Panthers because that's Miami. They play down in Sunrise, right, which is close to Miami. And
Boca.
You know, Boca Raton, and you could get caught up out there, man. Nightlife is
that Boca flu, man. It's nothing.
It is. You go from Tampa Bay, which quietly Tampa Bay has like, got a big strip club lane out there. They're known for strip clubs down there in Tampa Bay.
Trisha Celebrini, 18 years old.
Yeah, Macklin can't get into any of the bad places in Miami.
The strip clubs. I mean, seriously.
He ain't going to the 18.
So I worry about this trip.
Willies.
I mean, it actually explains why they got beat 8-1. 5 goals right away in the first period. It explains everything on why the Sharks had a letdown. Tampa Bay has a very underrated nightlife, and then you go from Tampa down to Miami's.
Macklin, it's not easy. Notable partier.
It's not easy. I don't expect the Sharks to win.
So Celebrini was celebrating.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Oh, man. Fonte, kids allowed at the awards. Absolutely.
My kid will be there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think baby Chess will be there. Good. I think if she gets up. She likes to wake up at 9 o'clock, so she may miss it. But kids are allowed only after 9:30 with a dancer's leave. What you got, final thought?
My final thought is this.
What'd I do, Spadoni? Come on.
My final thought is this.
Damn it. What?
I can't believe the A's signed Luis Severino.
And the Giants have it?
Well, no, it's not even that. I can't believe they signed him. I can't believe they signed him. Number one. Number two.
Largest contract in A's history.
Which is insane. And, like, which begs to the question, like, clearly the commissioner's office told them, like, you better sign someone. Right? Like, they could have easily signed someone last year, and they didn't. And they did it now. Like, something's up. Something's up. I think that whatever's going on with the real estate, the stadium in Vegas, I think that they need to put their money where their mouth is. And I think Major League Baseball is applying pressure to them finally. I don't know. In the words of Windhorse, I got both my fingers up, and I'm not going to say anything. I guess you have to, it's a visual, not an audio.
In the words of Windhorse, I'm not going to say the words. I'm just going to do a
visual. Something's up. I don't know what. I don't know. But this is odd, is it not? It's bizarre.
Everything they do is odd. They're a dumpster fire franchise. John Fisher's a jerk. He's only paying for him now that they're out of Oakland, even though they could have been paying the whole time when they were in Oakland. He's a jerk. I can use some other names right now, but I'll get in trouble from the FCC. Come on. Go ahead.
So I think that stadium in Vegas, the latest price tag is like $1.7 billion now or something like that, and it keeps going up. But, you know, hey, it's been a force stay in Oakland.
Cost to be the boss. What's your final thought, Lubbin?
Well, I guess that was my final thought, that stadium in Vegas is more expensive now, and yet still cheaper than Oakland for some reason.
My final thought, man, I got a lot of thoughts. Warriors win. Kuminga tonight against Ant-Man. Wiggins. Steph hopefully is back.
How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
But my thought is, what's going to happen tomorrow in college football? I don't have to work tomorrow. It's my lone day off this week.
Oh.
I'm getting a haircut in the morning before I got an early appointment. Shout out to Pat. Dapper Don's out there on Powell Street. College football tomorrow. I cannot wait. How is this bracket going to shake up? Will the Hurricane sneak in?
Do they serve you champagne while you're getting your haircut? Keep it real.
I don't drink. I'm not a big drinker.
But do they?
No, they used to. But they know I don't drink, so I just give me a little nice bottle of water.
Shine their shoes? Well.
No shoes shine.
I'll tell you, you're doing great.
Hey, DPA's a sellout. Is he going to be at the Doobies or what?
No, I want him to stay mysterious.
Brian, no, you don't. Brian Palo Alto, show your face at the Doobie Awards December 20th. Show your face. How's Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity at home or on the go? You get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Have a great weekend, everybody. It doesn't upset me. It bothers me.
I mean, I'm not God.